We're so blessed that you decided to join us at Cultivating Hearts Radio Ministry. We're back in the studio with Adriana, Hosanna, Miss Tara, myself, Sandy. And we're in Philippians 3, and today we are going to start in 7 through 11. And we're going to talk about the difference between walking in the flesh and walking in the spirit.
Yeah, this is exciting. All right, so we talked about the confidence that we can have in the flesh, and Paul's challenging us that we should not put our trust, our faith, our confidence in the flesh. And he lists out that he's the one that could put all kinds of confidence because he had a whole bunch of things in his life that he could have, but we're not supposed to. And so what we're going to see now is he's showing them what the difference looks like between being in the spirit or being in the flesh. And he says in Philippians 3, 7 through 11, I once thought these things were valuable, but now I consider them worthless because of what Christ has done. Yes, everything else is worthless when compared to the infinite value of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. For his sake, I have discarded everything else, counting it all as garbage, so that I could gain Christ and become one with him. I no longer count it my own righteousness through obeying the law. Rather, I become righteous through faith in Christ. For God's way of making us right with himself depends on faith. I want to know Christ and experience the mighty power that raised him from the dead. I want to suffer with him, sharing in his death, so that one way or another I will experience the resurrection of the dead. So what comes to mind initially when you hear this particular passage? What stands out to you?
I always think back to all the things that I thought were important before Christ, and now they're not. And that's what he's saying in this passage. You know, the worldly things, they're just not important.
Mm-hmm. Anybody else?
Well, like, just the fact that he says everything. Mm-hmm. And so, like, even the things that I do consider valuable, like, when compared to Christ, like, there's this contrast, and he is so much better than even the good things in life.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's beautiful. Mm-hmm. It's good. No. I gave you an A instead of a D.
Yeah, I know. That's odd.
I was going Canadian on you.
Oh, dear.
Because she's from Canada. That was
no,
pretty good.
I'm not from Canada.
Or your family.
Yeah, but I'm not.
Did you like your drum roll?
Yes, that was a beautiful drum roll.
So I think it was David Guzik, but it may have been Volvard, that said in their list, they just wrote down, I am a good Christian. I am a good person. I give to charity, and I do good for others, and I accomplish much. Like, these are the things that they had listed out, mm-hmm. and then they put an X through it and wrote rubbish. Mm-hmm. And so Hosanna caught it very well. It's not just that which is bad, but it can actually be those things that are good. Like, it is good to be a good Christian. It is good to be a good person. It is good to give to charity. It is good to do for others, and it is good to accomplish things for the kingdom of God. But anything that we do apart from in Christ, it's rubbish. Mm-hmm. It is rubbish. And as we grow and we spiritually mature, if you do the discipleship wheel that's in Real Life Discipleship by, what's his name? I just went blanking on his name. But if you do Real Life Discipleship, it'll come up. And they take you through the infant, you know, child, young adult, and then mature adult. The person who's at the end, it's always about the kingdom identity, and getting to the place where everything we are doing, it is for the purpose of building the kingdom of God, not for taking care of my need, meeting my wants, or how I feel I should serve, but it's how God wants his kingdom built. And so maturing to that place, and when we get to the place where we can recognize that even that which is good is not valuable if it's not in Christ, that's a sign that we are spiritually maturing. And Paul longs for this for the people of Philippi. He's trying to get them to get it. And so I was making a list out of what it means to have the difference between the flesh and the spirit. And I noticed that he says it's to know Christ. That's so simple. Mm-hmm. Like, it stopped me for a second. I was expecting it to be complicated. I know we always make things that are simple complicated, but literally, if I know Christ, I will know the difference between the flesh and the spirit. Because if I know Christ, I'm seeking Christ, desiring to be in his word and know him, he's not going to lead me astray. In fact, the Holy Spirit is the one that guides us in all truth. we will know the difference. It will be evident to us. The difference is whether or not we're willing to listen. Mm-hmm. And I didn't intend it to be in this section, but I will bring it up here, and I'll bring it up again later. This week, I was having a conversation with one of my young women, and I said, really, it comes down to whether or not we have healthy listening. And I had never put those two words together before. And she's like, well, what do you mean? And I go, a person who has healthy listening, they're listening with the intent to hear from God. If we do not have healthy listening, we are not going to engage in that which is being spoken to us. It doesn't matter that God is speaking. It doesn't matter that those outside us are speaking. If we're not willing to be healthy, we won't get it. And we cannot move forward. And I was like really like pondering this, and it stopped me for a moment, because this was like something I had never like thought about, but I have observed it over and over and over, and that a person is listening and they're hearing and they can speak back what is being said, but they're not healthy in how they're filtering it. They're filtering it through the flesh. So they can't give the holy response that needs to happen, because it's coming through the flesh. The confidence is in the flesh instead of in the spirit. And I wrote, healthy listening leads to healthy and holy living. That's the difference. And that difference comes from whether or not I know Christ. And if I'm speaking into Christ. And so many places in Scripture, it tells us that the one who is in the flesh thinks like the flesh. The one who's in the spirit thinks like it's in the spirit. And that's the reason why so often in circumstances, two people can see the same thing and one person not see that which is evil and another person see and make it into evil. And so what can be a completely, totally innocent circumstance, one person, because of their filter in the flesh, it becomes that which is sinful. And I'll give you an extreme example, or an example I know of from my life, in that I served in my church worship pageant every year. And it's a Christmas pageant. It is a pageant with the intent to draw people to Jesus. And it's beautiful. And serving with the group, that the angels that are considered the ones that are ministering to Jesus, and so it's just a whole host of young girls that there's nothing at all in their actions or in their hearts that is impure in what they're doing as far as like presenting their worship. And yet we had somebody that filed a complaint and said that it was too sensual and sexual, and there was nothing at all that way.
I've been to many of those pageants. I've never seen that.
And I mean, I was sick inside my heart, because it was actually a revelation of what was inside that person. And that person's heart was not in the spirit. It was in the flesh. And so, of course, that's what they saw, because their sight and their hearing was being filtered through their flesh that they had not dealt with before the Lord. And the sad thing is, this was a Christian leader. And I'm just sitting there and I'm listening as this is being spoken to me. And I was just crushed inside, because I had a revelation of where that person's heart was, because anybody who was watching should have been drawn to Jesus.
Right.
Unless their confidence was in a flesh thing and not where they could healthily listen through the Lord. And that's what he's trying to get the people of Philippi to get. You guys, it has to be through Christ, and it's knowing Christ. And so I was really excited, because I wrote these lists down, and then God broke it down for me. Within this 7 through 11, he says, I'm just going to make the list out so that you can hear, and then I'm going to break them down, and then I'm going to show you like the little header that God gave me, because it was really cool. He says to them, the difference between the flesh and the spirit, it's to know Christ, it's to gain Christ, to be found in Christ, to have faith in Christ, to know Christ again, and to attain the resurrection of the dead. And so then I wrote down, they go together, the knowing and the gaining are together when he's using them in the sentence. And in those, he's talking about letting go of what's behind. In the finding and faith, that's what he's talking about right now in the moment, that we've let go in the knowing and the gaining and the finding and the faithing. We're in the moment grasping what Christ has for us. And I'm getting goosebumps as I'm saying this, because it, to me, it's just so beautifully powerful. And the third one, where he says to know Christ and to gain the power of the resurrection, he's talking about it's already been provided, and he's looking towards the future of what has already been accomplished for us. So in his to know Christ, to gain Christ, to be found in Christ, to have faith in Christ, to know Christ, and to attain the power of the resurrection, he's looking at our past, our present, and our future of what we have been fulfilled. And if we know and understand what Christ has accomplished for us, then we'll be in the spirit and not in the flesh. And so if I am walking out and I'm doing something in the flesh, it's because I have forgotten what I've already gained. I have forgotten to faith it in the moment, and I have forgotten what I've already attained of what will be. I've walked out of knowing him.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, this morning as God was giving this to me, I was just, God, you are so beautiful. Your word is so incredible, mm-hmm. and it's so simple, and yet we make it so complicated. And that it's just a matter of knowing him and saying, I do. I want to know what you've done. I want to know what you're doing. And I want to know what will be as you accomplish in me what you said. You will be faithful to complete what you have begun. And he wants us to be, going back to that first week, remember, cemented, literally joined to him in the spirit so that we're one with him to receive what he has accomplished. I don't know. It's pretty awesome.
That is.
What are your thoughts? What does that make you think?
We do have a tendency as humans in the flesh to forget.
Mm-hmm.
But boy, the word remembers in the Bible a lot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So we need to remember.
The word to know comes from the Greek word gnosko, and it means to know in many applied ways. It's not a linear knowledge. I would say it's more like spherical, if that's even possible. Can I say that?
Can I say it?
Because like linear knowledge is like I start here and I just move on this line. Mm-hmm. Whereas if I am fully grasping the past, the present, and the future, I mean, that is like circular, but not just circular, spherical, like in every aspect all the way around
like
me.
3D.
Completely.
Yeah.
And that when it says to know him, I want to know him in the many applied ways I can know him.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when I'm not in the flesh.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's kind of like in the last battle in the Chronicles of Narnia series, how it's really cool because like a third of the book is basically devoted to the characters, in essence, exploring heaven. And there's this like mantra that they have in it of come further up, come further in. And just how they keep on exploring and they keep on finding new layers, and each layer is bigger and better and brighter. And like, it's just, I always thought it was such a beautiful illustration of how when you get to know God, you continue to get to know more and more about him, and you get to go deeper and deeper into his personality, and that it's just an infinite progression where you can never fully know God, and yet mm-hmm. you're continually knowing him better. And so, I don't know. It's always just been such a cool image in my mind.
It's a beautiful mystery.
It is. It's just like the good soil, you know, the deeper the roots go,
mm-hmm.
the more you know him.
Mm. Yes, but deep roots only happen through hardship.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And
those are where you grow the most.
Mm-hmm.
I found in
mm-hmm.
my
right.
long life.
So, it's crazy because our theme last year at Grace University was all in. And so essentially he's telling them you have to know Christ, but you can't just know Christ. You have to be all in.
Right.
I mean, that's ultimately what it is. And so that phrase is just there because we have to be all in. And I was like, this is crazy, but we are never told to develop character. He's not saying to develop our character. He's telling us we have to know Jesus. And if we know Jesus, guess what happens?
He develops our character.
Right. And I never had caught that before. Like, I never caught that before, that I It, nowhere in the Bible does it say, go build your character. Right. He tells us the things we must do. And as we do those things, then we'll find that character is built in us.
And when we accept Christ, you know, he changes us. We don't change ourselves.
Correct.
You know, some people can maybe try to do that, but it doesn't work for very long.
I was in a Bible study in Houston, and my friend Charlene, she was sitting there, and she goes, you know, I just woke up one morning and I said, I'm going to be holy today. and she said, I walked into my living room and I sinned instantly.
Yep.
And then my children came into the kitchen and then I sinned again. And then my husband came into the living room and I sinned on him. And then I got in the car and she goes, you don't want to know how I sinned there. And she pretty much progressed us through the sin that she walked until she got to Bible study at 9 o'clock.
Yeah.
Wasn't much time because she got up at 7. So the equivalent of 2 hours. And her first thought was, I'm just going to be holy today. And what occurred to her, it was a revelation. She said, it dawned on me, I can't say I'm going to be holy. But if I choose to keep my eyes on Jesus mm-hmm. and know him, somehow, despite me, holiness happens.
Mm-hmm. That's true, despite me.
Right.
Yeah.
And I think that's the same here in that Paul's saying, know Jesus. Forget all those things that you think are important, the circumcision, being of the people of Israel, being a tribe of Benjamin or a Hebrew of Hebrews. And I wrote down this question, like, what does it mean to be a Hebrew of Hebrew? I actually wrote it down, and it was pretty funny because depending on how you read the word has different definitions. It can mean being Jewish. It can mean the language. It can mean being a descendant of the land. And essentially, to be a Hebrew of Hebrew is to say, I am all of those.
Hmm. Yeah.
And so that's kind of what it's meaning. And like, it's a kind of like in Texas, it says, don't mess with Texas. It's kind of like, I'm a Hebrew of Hebrews, don't mess with me kind of thing. But I actually did a search to find out, what does that really mean, Paul? He says, know Jesus. That's it.
Simple.
Know him. Gain him, find him, faith in him. And know him so that you attain what he has attained for you in the power of the resurrection. Mm. And so I want you to come back, because next time what we're going to do is we're going to look at how does that character development and knowing Christ happen in us? What are the things that as I am seeking out to know him, he's actually going to orchestrate some things in us? And there are actually challenges that Paul gives us in different passages that tell us we need to do these things. There are things that we have a responsibility to do, and so we're going to look at what those things might be. And so we're hoping you'll come back and examine those with us. For the moment, we just want to say we're glad you're listening, and just want to challenge you for the areas in your life. Make a list of all the things that you could list that you have confidence in. And then lay them before the Lord and say, Lord, this is rubbish compared to you, and I want you. I want to know you. So show me how to know you and let go. God bless. We're so glad you're listening to Cultivating Hearts. Thanks.